Well, good morning, New Life. So glad that you have decided to worship with us today. And we're just blessed to be able to come together and to lift up the name of Jesus. If you're brand new or if you're just checking out Christianity and this whole God thing for the very first time, we're so glad that you have decided to be with us. And we would just say, hey, what would it look like to be open to what God might have to say to you today? And if you're a regular attender, you know that we've been in this series called Upside Down Kingdom, taking a look at lessons from Sermon on the Mount. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Matthew. Matthew is in the New Testament or the second half of the Bible. The passages will be on the screen, but you can also utilize the red Bible that's in front of you. Again, Matthew is in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 today. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 19 here in just a moment. I've come to believe there's kind of two people that I recognize in the world when it comes to ordering things, and we probably fall into one of these categories. I know my wife is one and I'm the other. I'll let you decide which one you think is which. But for us, when we go in order, one of us walks up to the counter and knows exactly what they want because we've been standing in line for like 3 minutes, and I shouldn't have said that. But we've been looking at the order menu, and so when I get up there, I know exactly what I want, and I order, and it's good, right? And my wife, I think because she's a little bit like, she's able to take in way more information. I'm more this, and she's more like, hey, look at all the stuff going on, that she doesn't think to do that. She's looking at the person eating over here and what they're eating over there, and all of a sudden we get up to the counter, and it's as if the first time she's looking at the menu. And she's not quite sure what to do. And what's interesting to me is that from a very young age, we are taught that we are going to have to make choices and decisions in life. And sometimes we're going to have to figure out, you know, kind of what we want to hold on to and what we don't. In fact, have you ever seen a little kid who maybe is walking around the playground or the toy room? I've seen this happen at even Rancho Grande Park when we're down there, and there'll be kids down there, and they'll have various basketballs and volleyballs and stuff, and all of a sudden you'll see one little kid, and they're just walking around, and they're picking up everything, and all of a sudden they get to about here, and they're like, okay, there's one more thing that I got to get, and so they're trying to balance it, right? And take out one more thing. And they're walking around like this. But then what happens is they see another one and they're like, okay, I gotta get down and get that one. And they're trying to reach down and they end up dropping something. Hey, that was pretty good, right? You know? And they end up dropping something and they're trying to pick that up. And the thing that happens is they're not willing to let go of something in order to hold onto something. They're not willing to let go of something in order to hold on to something. And when it comes to Jesus, he's beginning to teach about what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. We get to this series of passages in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you're going to be a part of this kingdom, you're going to have to begin to choose. You're going to have to begin to decide what you want to hold on to and what you want to let go of. And even when we make it personal to ourselves, have you ever thought about the things that you treasure right now, the things that you want to hold on to right now? Have you ever kind of taken inventory and said, okay, I'm at this season in my life, and here are the things that I want to hold on to. Here are the things that are important to me. And all of a sudden, you begin to gather them. But then, have you ever asked, in light of that question, who is it that I want to become? Like over the next 5 years, over the next 10 years, who is it that you want to become? Because as you're putting stuff, as you're beginning to treasure things, as you're beginning to put stuff in your arms, are you asking yourself, is this who I want to become? In 5 years, 10 years, is this who I want my family to become? Is this what I want my purpose to be? Is this what I want my priorities to be? Or do we just walk around and say, oh, there's another treasure, let me pick that up. There's another thing, let me pick that up. There's another thing, let me pick that up. And Jesus comes along and says, hold on, there's a whole other way of taking inventory of what you hold on to and what you let go of. Let me teach you how to do that. And so again, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 6. It's kind of a lengthy passage when it reads verses 19 through 34, so stay with me. And there's a progression here as Jesus begins to talk about this idea of treasures. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and
rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink and enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all the worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will I eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, God, I pray that as we open up your word, the bread of life, that God, we would feast, that we would fill our stomachs, that we would fill our hearts and our souls with the word that you want to speak to us today. And so God, may we have ears to hear you, may we have eyes to see you, and may we have hearts that receive your message to us today. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Jesus begins this kind of, again, this progression that he's going to be talking about. It feels a little bit disconnected. Like when you read it all together, kind of like, okay, how do these things fit together? But the brilliance of the passage is that there's this growth that happens, this development that happens. And every one of these different areas that Jesus addresses within this passage is interconnected together. And so he begins with the most dominating or the challenging one. And the question becomes, what are the things that you are going to treasure? What are the things that you're going to pick up and carry around? What are the things that you're going to kind of put in your arms and make a priority? And the question is, are the things that you're going to make a priority, the things that you're going to gather around, just like when we were kids and we were walking around and we were picking up various toys and various things, are those things going to be things that are going to have their priority in this broken, hurtful world, this earthly kingdom? Or are they going to be things that are going to have eternal value and be a part of the heavenly kingdom? And the challenge for us is that we can actually look as if we have our focus and priorities in the heavenly kingdom, but really have our focus and priorities in the earthly kingdom. Like, you can look the part. I used to play golf when I was in Michigan once a year, and I could look the part. I could literally, I mean, every year I would go and I would go over to, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods or something like that, and I would get the golf shirt and I would get the golf pants. I even at some point along the way bought myself a Nike golf rain suit because it always seemed to rain in Northern Michigan when we go, and I had the clubs and I had everything except for the swing. And when we'd get out there, everybody else had the swing. Everybody else, man, you had guys out there in like old Reeboks and like in shorts, and they're sitting there like drilling the ball down, but I couldn't do that. Every time I swung, it'd be off to the right or off to the left, every now and then down the middle. And so I could look the part. Golf was never a priority for me. It was something that I did once a year. In fact, the whole reason I went was not for the golf, but for the relationships. It was for the connections with other guys and hanging out with them. And so we can do the same thing when it comes to heavenly and kingdom priorities, that we can look the part. People can even look at me and be like, man, Pastor David, he must have his kingdom priorities. He's got gaff tape that holds his Bible together because it's getting so worn, and he's got pencil marks in the margins and stuff, and he has things highlighted on his Bible app. He's got this great streak going of number. If you use the Bible app, you know what I'm talking about. And you've got this like number of days that you've been in the Word consecutively and all this kind of stuff. He must be having his priorities in the kingdom of God. You can do all of that and still not have your priorities in the kingdom of God. You can do all of that and still walk away from the Word and start picking up earthly treasures everywhere you go. And someone very wise once said, you want to know where your treasures are? Look at your checkbook, right? You want to know where your treasures are? Look at your focus and your stuff, your checkbook. And if you're under the age of 40, look at your Venmo account, right? Look at the things where you have your priorities, because that will begin to shape way more than how much time that I spend kind of leafing through this, because you can know a lot about the kingdom, but never allow the kingdom to begin to be prioritized in your heart. I've met people all through the years who they know a lot about the kingdom, but the kingdom of heaven has never become a priority in their life. And so Jesus begins again saying, don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, if you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard this passage preached on before. And for many of us, here's what we think. All right, so here's this treasure. And Lakers, I'm not sure how much of that treasure that is. But here's this treasure, right? And one day, I'm going to do a bunch of really good things here on earth. And one day in heaven, I'm going to receive this treasure in heaven. And so therefore, I got to do a bunch of really good things here, be a really good person and do all these really good things. And one day, I'm going to receive a treasure. Once I get to heaven, I'm going to receive that treasure. But Matthew isn't talking about that. In fact, if you've been following us throughout this series, you recognize that what Jesus has been talking about from the beginning of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is that heaven isn't something that we're waiting for and we're hunkering down saying, I'm hoping that one day I'll have a treasure one day. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has come near. I think this is one of the problems, though. It's why we go around and we gather earthly treasures rather than heavenly treasures, because, you know, we're not really good at delayed gratification. So we're going, hold on a second. If it's all about heavenly treasures, I'll just be kind of good now and hope that I get something later. And when we do that, we're like, yeah, my heavenly treasure, I'll get that one day. But today I'm going to gather up some earthly treasures because, you know, this is right now, right? And Matthew articulating here the words of Jesus, giving us a glimpse of what Jesus taught and the good news of Jesus, says, no. When we're talking about heavenly treasures, we're talking about treasures in heaven right now. In fact, a very literal translation of this passage would be, store up your treasures in God. Store up your treasures in God. Not this place someday, but in the things of God right now. May your priorities, the things that you value, the things that your time and energy and resources are going to be prioritized around, be the things of God, because they will have lasting value. And we used to not have access to these things of God. But when Jesus comes on the scene, again, he announces that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he invites us to participate in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, because you can now participate in the things of God, you once weren't able to do this, but now that you're able to participate in the things of God, stop prioritizing, stop fixating on, stop focusing in on the treasures of earth. In fact, that's exactly what that word don't. Don't store up yourselves treasures on earth, right? Where rust and moth and destroy and thieves break in and steal. It says, stop doing it. So it's not hypothetical. Every one of us has this struggle. Every one of us is going around going, hey, this earthly treasure, it feels really good. It's really, and it's right before me. Seems like everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to add it to my pile also. And so it's not hypothetical as if, oh, you might not have this temptation. No, Jesus is saying, stop doing it. Put an end to it. Because those things that are treasures on earth will eventually rust, will eventually disappear. And we know this to be true because if you've ever had your focus on certain earthly treasures, you discovered a couple of things. One is that they tend to be things that we want instant gratification for. And so it becomes something that we're fixated on because it's going to give us an instant residual effect, right? We're automatic response. And so it's the whole reason that we begin to gather stuff that have earthly significance is because heavenly things tend to be more gradual, but earthly things, they're like tangible and they're like, okay, I've got it right here. I can see the results. I can feel the results. They're things that I want right now. They also tend to be pleasure seeking. They tend to be something that we're craving at that time. And we're like, hey, I've got this craving. So in order to satisfy that craving, I'm going to find something that is going to be instant. And they tend to also be fleeting. And they're not always, it's not always stuff, although many times it is. It's also things like prestige. It's also things like titles and positions. I love serving here at New Life. I love the fact that I get to gather and serve with an incredible team. I love the fact that we have people who have the gift of teaching. Man, Noah did just such an amazing, I got to watch him from a distance last week online. He did such an awesome job preaching here and bringing the word. I love being pastor here. But even that title, if that's what it all was to me, would be fleeting. Because I'm only gonna be in this role. I'm only gonna be in this position for a season. So if my entire life was fixated on arriving at a position, at arriving at a title, at arriving at a significance, or my significance was wrapped up in that prestige, then all of a sudden one day that would be fleeting. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you came to the end of your career and your life was all wrapped up in what you did. And when you retired, you begin to ask yourself, where are my treasures? Some of you, the thing that you have been fixated on, you're a high school student and you've been fixated on all those AP classes and all the work that's gone into that at the expense of relationships with your parents, at the expense of relationships with friends. And again, parents, I'm not knocking your kids' AP classes. I get it that it's part of life at some point. But we can be so fixated on saying, hey, you know what? I want to have the cords and I want to have the medal when I graduate and I want to get in the most prestigious school at the expense of anything else that is actually going to have eternal value. We can be so fixated on the bank account and we can begin to gather this up. We start going, okay, I need to get the promotion. Have you ever gotten a promotion and then all of a sudden, the moment you get that promotion, you're already looking at the next promotion? Have you ever made, or maybe you can remember this, do you remember when you first made around $25,000 a year? My kids just got jobs this summer at Mustang Water Park, and so they're working there, and it's amazing how much money actually means to them now that they have to spend their own, right? But do you remember the first time that you ever made $25,000, and then depending on where your life stage was, you're going, hey, I will never need to make more than this in my life. This is enough. I've capped out. But the moment you got that first check, the moment you deposited that first check, all of a sudden you started going, hold on a second, I think I could do $45,000 pretty well also. And then the very first moment that you got that $45,000, all of a sudden you started going, you know what? $65,000 sounds like it might be a little bit better deal. And the moment you got paid for your very first check, making $65,000 a year, you started going, $100,000. Because that's fleeting, right? I watched a video of a kid from a high school who became valedictorian and actually was talking about this week. And he said when he received the word that he actually was top of his class, he said, It was awesome for about 15 seconds. And on that 16th second, he started going, now what? I spent the last year and I was in the books, I was in the library, and I began to treasure all the things that I thought I was supposed to treasure. And I got there. And it was fleeting. It was difficult to grasp that it wasn't going to last. And Jesus comes along and says, when you fixate yourself on things that are instant, when you fixate yourself on things that are fleeting, when you fixate yourself on things that are just about pleasure seeking and just giving you kind of that high for the moment, you'll realize that those things not just are destroyed, but eventually they will disappear. So he says, above everything that you place in your hand, above everything that you place in your treasures that you begin to pick up, treasure God first. Treasure him first. Give yourself to him first. Because the things of the kingdom, the things of God, when we treasure things in God, those things, they're not instant, to be quite honest. They're gradual. Because many times they're focused on others and they're focused around people. And I'll be honest, people don't transform instantly. They tend to be gradual. There's growth involved. And so kingdom treasures tend to be gradual. Kingdom treasures tend to be other focused. But kingdom treasures are lasting. They're not fleeting. See, we are eternal beings living in a physical world that eventually will rust, a physical world full of physical treasures that will eventually rust, eventually moth will destroy, eventually thieves will steal. All of a sudden, those who treasure God first begin to ask, what are the things that are going to last? What are the things that I need to prioritize? God, show me. Give me a vision. Give my eyes a vision for what I should treasure. What is it that I should treasure? Because treasuring things is not the issue. If you are human, you are going to treasure something. So treasuring things is not the issue. The issue is, what is it that we're going to treasure? So Jesus moves on from this conversation about treasures and he says, okay, if you're going to learn how to treasure things, then you're going to have eyes to see what you should treasure. And so he says, where your heart is, that's where your treasures are. Where your treasures are, that is where your heart is. And the way that you kind of begin to have an insight into that is through your eyes. And so your eyes begin to show you where you're going to be. We play this game in our car when we're driving on a long trip. We either play I Spy or we play this game where you look for a truck or a Jeep or a cop car or a semi-truck, a round semi-truck, and you get different points for anything. Or you look for license plates from other states. And it's interesting. When my kids are looking for those things, they are like, man, they are like dogs on a scent, man. They're like peering out the window and they're looking three and four and five cars. They're looking behind them and I'm trying to drive and do the same thing. Because all of a sudden their eyes are fixated on something. And Jesus comes along and says, okay, your eyes are kind of this gateway to showing us what we're going to treasure, this gateway to help us helping you guide yourself on this path. What are your eyes fixated on? And they're fixated on Jesus, and he is shedding light as we read in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. We'll guide you to the things that are kingdom treasures. But when we're fixated on earthly things, then we begin to stumble around. Then we begin to be uncertain. Then we're not quite sure what it is that we're looking for. And so maybe something to write down, to think about and ponder is, where are your eyes naturally drawn? What are the things that your eyes are naturally drawn to? Because there are things that each one of us, the enemy knows it, right? He knows the things that we have a tendency to be drawn to. For some of us, it's success. For some of us, it's prestige. For some of us, it's wealth. For some of us, it's stuff. But he knows the things that our eyes are naturally drawn to. And the question becomes, when I become a citizen of the kingdom, how do I begin to surrender those things that I'm naturally drawn to and start not listening to those things, but listening to the Spirit of God that's within me? He would lead me to understand what treasures are valuable. And attention develops. When you know that God is calling you to invest in treasures in heaven and not on earth, and you understand that your eyes have this tendency to be drawn to these other things, then all of a sudden you have to begin to hold intention all of this stuff. And you start going, okay, I can't serve all this. I can't literally pick up everything that I want to pick up. So at some point, you have to choose to set something down in order to pick something up. You have to say, okay, I need to set down my love for entertainment, whatever that might be. It might be sports. It might be wealth. It might be whatever it is that's taking me away from my family. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's prestige, maybe it's chasing something. And at some point you have to set that down so that you can hold on to the things that God has called you to treasure. Things of his kingdom. And so you start asking yourself, do I have control over where my eyes are wandering? If you don't have control over where your eyes are wandering right now, what does it look like, again, to surrender and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I need you to begin to guide and direct my eyesight. Begin to make my path straight. You can't serve both God and money, the scripture says, but fill in the blank. You can't serve both God and chasing success for yourself. You can't both serve God and chase gathering stuff so that at the end of the day, you're the one with the most toys. What is it? What is it that you're holding in tension? And this last portion might seem odd to us. So Jesus begins talking about the things that we treasure. Then he moves on to talking about kind of where our eyes are looking and how we're kind of gathering up these treasures. And then he ends this whole portion talking about worry. And you're like, man, that just feels like this odd left turn that we just took. But the reality is, when your treasures are in the right places and your treasures are in the things of God, then you understand the character and nature of God. And it's crazy. You begin to rest in him and be at peace in him. When your treasures are in things of this world and earthly treasures, and you begin to kind of gather them up, and you begin to think, this is where my significance is, hanging on to all of these things. And when somebody comes up to you and begins to pry one of those treasures out of your arms, or you lose those treasures, all of a sudden your purpose and your well-being and your emotional state and everything else goes with it. And you constantly are hoarding, and it's no different than the little kid who gathers all their toys together and says, no, mine, these are mine, you stay back. And they throw a temper tantrum and they hit each other and they bite each other. Why? Because they want to protect theirs. Because instinctively, we know that these earthly treasures are fleeting. And so we hold on to them as tacitly as we can. And we get pent up with anxiety and worry. But when our treasures are in the things of God, we begin to recognize that those treasures are not of our own doing. They're of his doing. When our treasures are in God, we know we don't sustain those. He does. When our treasures are in God, we begin to discover his character and his nature. We begin to rest in him. You see, we wouldn't like to admit it. We live sometimes as if money can provide all of our things. But the reason we worry is because instinctively we know it can't and it's fleeting. It's like we've been hardwired to know that earthly treasures aren't where our heart should be. And so we will be restless and worrisome until we let go of those things and place our priorities on heavenly things. And so at the end of the day, Jesus steps back and as he outlines this idea of treasures and where our eyes are looking and how we can place our confidence in God. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to place our confidence in the things of this world. We can place our confidence in God first and foremost. He says, when you do that, all other things will be added to you. It's as if he starts going, you'll begin to see and prioritize things in the right order. And when God is at the center, all of a sudden you begin, it's like a new set of glasses that you put on and you begin to see things. And all of a sudden you go, hey, my priorities are here. It's not that we can't have a great time going to the beach and hanging out and enjoying life. It's that it's all prioritized. Am I going there because I got the new toy that I had to work overtime and be away from my family so that Or are my treasures in heavenly things? Things that will last. And so what does it look like to choose better? It's amazing to me that when my kids were young, we would always give them choices, right? We literally, when they were eating something they didn't like, we would cut up their food and we would put like 6 pieces over here and 3 pieces over here. And we would give them a choice because they didn't want to eat any of them. We'd say, you don't have to eat both piles. You just have to eat one pile. And 90% of the time, they would eat the 6 pieces over the 3. And what's interesting is that as we get older, sometimes again, we don't get very good at making choices. What are the things that are heavenly things over the things that are earthly things. And so as we begin to kind of look and put these new lenses on again, the question becomes, what is a treasure of God? And for you, maybe taking inventory and saying, okay, what are the things in my life that are in God, that are top priority in my life? What are the things that I'm seeking right now that are in God? And then what are the things that I am seeking that are of this earth only? And just simply making a list and going, okay, let's take inventory of the things that I'm seeking that are in God versus the things that I am seeking that are of this earth. And then ask yourself this question and visualize it maybe. Who do I want to become? In 3 years, in 5 years, when you see yourself and you've gathered the treasures that you have and you think these questions, I'm so glad I invested in. I wish I would have invested in. When you see yourself in 5 years, will you have chosen better? Will you have chosen things that last? Will you have chosen things that have eternal impact? Or will you be left with dust? A whole lot of energy, a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of resources, but nothing to show for it. Team's gonna sing this song, and I just wanna encourage you just to allow the Holy Spirit just to begin to take inventory of your life and begin asking, God, what is it that what earthly treasure do I need to let go of so that I can hang on to heavenly treasures? Holy Spirit, have your way in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.